Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, SNFL footy, there's a few things happening. There's the AFL draft, which has affected the SNFL clubs.
And you were really fired up about that the last time we spoke about that particular. And it has been big in the SA media, hasn't it? Because it has happened.
Yep.
And the AFL clubs are really disappointed. And yep. The SNFL, to their credit, were on radio TV the other day, and they also weren't happy with the process. So I think there's a lot to be said there, and also a lot of things need to be reconsidered and maybe some changes, mate.
The last time they had a draft in the mid-season was back in 1993, and it did affect Central District back then. We lost Tony Lynn, who mid-season, who was an important player. He was a reigning best and fairest at the club. But this time we didn't lose anyone, but Glenelg, who are top, South Adelaide, who's right up there, two of the promising newcomers to the premiership contender class, they both lost really important players. Now, really feel sorry for South Adelaide. They lost their ruckman just on the eve of the season, but they picked this other guy up, Michael Noel, who's been doing a fantastic job in spearheading their ruck. He was picked up by the Swans at number four in the mid-season draft. So South Adelaide played without him first game against the Eagles, and they lost. Eagles were one of the teams outside of the top five. So their luck destroyed South Adelaide, and that Michael Noel. So it's been a huge impact player for South, and they've lost him. And then Glenelg, which is top, they've lost Lachlan Hosey, who's a league leading top goal kicker. He's one of their junior players coming through. He's been lost to the club too. So they had a bye straight up after the mid-season draft. So yet to really see too much of an effect how that one player will make. But, you know, those two clubs now, their premiership dreams are probably diminished because of those losses. How are they going to replace them? They can't really. And there's no compensation. They didn't get any money for them or anything.
Well, that's what I found difficult to understand, because you think, okay, it seems difficult for SNFL clubs. I understand it from a player point of view, and it seems to me a bit heavy-handed from the AFL to go, well, we'll just take the cream of the crop from what's in the leagues below us, not considering the impact it has on those. And when you started a season, you know, coaches and clubs work really hard to develop a team, get them gelled on and playing together. That's not an easy task. And people might say, oh, it's one or two players, but you take out a key forward or a key defender or a midfielder or a ruckman, as you pointed out. I mean, those individual players in our leagues can have a big impact. No compensation. Like, you think at least if the club's got some compensation for it, they could then build that into their process, and they could be thinking about players that they might be recruiting at least for next season. But to lose, develop, and then lose a key player and get nothing for it just seems to be very, very unfair.
Now, while West Adelaide is sitting second to bottom at the time of the draft, they lost two players. They lost Will Snelling and John Noble, two youngsters sort of coming through. And it begs the question, what are those AFL clubs going to do with these players?
Well, that's the other question I had when I was listening and watching. I thought, well, are those players going to actually play now? Because if they're not going to play, I mean, you'd hope that they're going to play and have immediate impact in terms of AFL, so they can get out on the oval and actually play. But if these guys are there to fill up numbers and to be there for training, I mean, again, for them, for those players, I imagine this is fabulous, and so I don't think we can lose sight of that. But if they don't play now, then they're lost from our league, and they're not getting that competition that they really need. So, are they allowed to come back and play? Like, is it what's
not
the rules?
This season. No.
They can't play at all this season for their club again.
No.
Not
no.
even in the finals, for example.
No.
They would have qualified for finals, wouldn't they?
Yes. Yes.
So they can't come back and play.
No, because they're tied to another club now.
So why then can, like, a we've got the Crows and the Port. Like, why can't a Crows player who's been playing AFL can come back and play, get dropped and play in SNFL, can they qualify for finals?
Yeah, they can, but don't forget, these clubs like Carlton and Collingwood, all these clubs, they have their B-grade teams playing in the VFL over there, same as the Crows and Port Power have here. So they can play finals over there. But I kind of suspect that these clubs, whereas the initial reason for the AFL gave for the mid-season draft was that if the injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But what you found is clubs were getting veterans to retire to make spots. So they were having a look at these guys almost just as a look-see to see if they really want to pick them up for next year. And to my way of thinking, it's just not worth it, what it does to the clubs, the state league clubs and stuff like that. It's so disruptive, and there's not much they can do to sort of like be compensated for it. So let them play out the season and then sort of pick them up. You've got the rookie draft, you've got the draft itself. So how many bites of the cherry do you need?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting process now to see how those players develop. I think how those clubs use them, and also the impact it has over the rest of the season on SANFL. I think, obviously, by the final series, people will be able to see clearly if there has been a negative impact or not, or whether it's just it hasn't really affected the competition too much. But I think that's the issue at the moment. The unknowns for those clubs is that, of course, they're losing key players, star players, that are going to be difficult to replace.
Well, basically, what the AFL are doing currently is they're modelling the sports after American sport. So they have mid-season drafts and things like that, but it's completely different over there. We have different cultures, we have different expectations, and the SNFL supporters and the state league top supporters, they're missing out as well as the clubs, the officials, the teams. There's so many losers in all this just for the want of an AFL team wanting to, preview a player for next season. That's what it boils down to. And you have to ask the question. You get people that follow the AFL strongly. They're all saying, well, this is the top league. We have got to look after the top league. But they're not being very considerate in the people that are strongly supporting the state leagues. The state leagues have to sort of work twice as hard to get attract players suitable for their clubs because of the financial restrictions, and this is just another nail in the coffin to these state league competitions. Why bother chasing someone if you're going to lose them halfway through the season?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And then, how much? It's always a bit of a kick in. I mean, from a development point of view, if you have, as a club, developed a player through your junior ranks and they've come in to play SNFL, and I think you can hold your head up high because you've had, that's a big role, isn't it, to be actually take a young player and mould them into a great player that can then be drafted. I think clubs should be applauded for that, but they probably should also be compensated for that because, again, not all clubs are going to do that. And so how you do that is really important. But I think it just seems very... There's so much pressure on SAFL. I imagine other leagues around where there is now a lot of competition. And when players now are going, well, I haven't made AFL. In the past, it used to be, okay, I'm in SAFL, I'm making a stepping stone to the next level. But now players are going, well, I haven't made that level. There's other options for them now. And some of these leagues around the place are paying good money. And, of course, therefore, players might go, well, actually, I might even skip SAFL completely and go and play in another league. And so I think there's a whole lot of pressure now on what's been a traditionally very strong and wonderful competition. And you think this scenario isn't helping the SANFL.
Well, it's just another nail in the coffin. I just hate the way they're making these changes. And all these changes aren't in consultation with the competitions, with the leagues, because the SNFL... The mood around South Australia has been against it. And I suppose the Crows and Port Power obviously felt that because the Crows actually passed and didn't pick anyone up. And Port Adelaide picked one guy up from the Magpies, which is their B-grade team anyhow. They're Cam Sutcliffe, the captain who they recruited, I think, from Western Australia. But, so I suppose the mood in South Australia is against it, but it doesn't really matter what we think because at the end of the day, the VFL-AFL dictate everything. And I was reading something today where now the AFL want to embrace the VFA premierships from before the VFL in 1897 and count them in the premierships. And I'm thinking, well, what about Port Adelaide and the SNFL. And what about all the SNFL premierships? Well, we're not going to count those. It's just another Victorian-centric decision, which just proves that, you know, it's the other state propping up the bigs.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, in this day and age, when the AFL are so politically correct and so focused and conscious on every other social aspect of that exists out there, surely they can work that out. You'd hope that they can work that out, because they work very hard to make sure everything else has them smelling rosy. So you'd hope that they work that out as well. So Central's didn't get any
which is a good thing.
So let's talk about how the Doggies have been going this year.
I tell you, it's been tough watching Central's this year. We've only won 2 of 8 games, but you know, you can pinpoint it where we're falling down. We're falling down, we're having poor starts to games. And to highlight it, we've had, in 8 games, we've had 7 quarters where we haven't kicked a goal, and all those goalless quarters have been in the first half. There's been 4 first quarters and 3 second quarters. So 7 goalless quarters this season alone, whereas in the 12 years we made consecutive grand finals, I think maybe once we had a goalless quarter in 12 years. So it's just, you know, it's killing us. And in fact, in the 8 games, we've kicked 21 total goals in the first half of games, and the opposition have kicked 61, a differential of 40 goals. And to contrast that, in second halves, where we've kicked at least 1 goal every quarter, we've kicked 46 second half goals in the 8 games. And against us, we've had 46. So we've been competitive in the second half.
Taking a little bit of time to warm up.
Oh, either that or the other teams take their foot off the pedal. I know when Centrals were dominant, there was quite often we'd be 10 goals up at half time, and sort of at the end of the day, we only won by 10, 11, 12 goals, because you tend to, when you know you've won the game, you take your foot off the pedal. And this is one of the things I find frustrating, is that you're supporting your team and they've already basically lost the game at halftime. And you're sort of like just going through the motions. I mean, yeah, they play better, but how many times do you say, oh, yeah, we had a good second half, there's a lot of promise. Well, when's the promise going to show?
Yeah, it's Port Adelaide and the AFL have had a few issues too, haven't they, where they've had some poor starts. And it was interesting listening to a player on the radio the other day, and his comment was, yes, we weren't ready to play. And it's sort of, I thought, what? How can you not be ready to play? I get it that sometimes, you know, things don't go your way, but to say we're not ready to play at that level, you think, how is that possible?
Well, let's talk about their professional footballers. Let's talk about this, Sean. You're a teacher. You clock on at 8:30 or whatever. What if you're not ready to start work for an hour or two? What do you do? Just go and have a coffee or something?
Well, yeah, sometimes I might do that. I don't want to be too critical, because I've been there in my sport where I've done the same thing, and you think, okay, sometimes you do everything right, you do all your preparation, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't work for you. And then this is a team thing, isn't it, where all of a sudden there's something going on with the whole team that... and that always, I find more difficult. If you've got 18 players, then there's going to be some who there'll be different levels of being switched on or not. But if the whole team isn't ready to play, then that sort of says, hey, you've got to go and have a think about that, and how can you work that out? Because that's probably not to do with the coaches, is it? It's to do with the player mentality coming out there. Now, sometimes you come out and you're ready to go, but the other team just is superior. Yeah, so it's been a difficult start. Now, it really is, though. I mean, has Central's, you think maybe, because they've been so successful for so long, I mean, it's a very different team now, isn't it?
Yeah, there's only the captain, Trent Goodlam, he's still playing. He's a premiership player for a couple of years, won the Jack Odie in 2009, and Cole Jenner played in the premiership. There are only 2 premiership players left at the club.
So that, I mean, do you think that, there's more pressure on them? I mean, you think prior to that sort of real golden run that Centrals have had, I mean, they were working very hard coming into the league and then establishing themselves, but then actually winning a grand final, winning a premiership, and then they went on it's a really unbelievable run. So now, are people expecting too much of them? Like, should they rethink how centrals are now? Would you say they're in a rebuilding phase, or what would be your assessment?
My assessment is quite simple. They've just changed the whole face of the SNFL. I mean, you've had, over the last few years, you've had North LA come from bottom to top. You've had Sturt. You've had West LA, you know, Norwood. You know, it's sort of like anyone's game nowadays. And quite frankly, last year, anyone could have won the premiership. I mean, North came from bottom to top. And it's part of the equation is you've got the power and the quota reserves came in 2014. That's changed the whole face of it. And then you've had things like the mid-season draft this year, and you've had other issues that have come in, the change of rules. And it's very difficult to retain your top players as well there, because there's the expansion of the AFL with the Gold Coast and the other Western Sydney Giants team. You know, it's just, it's diluted the talent pool. So it's harder and harder. So the actual standard of the SNFL today and last year and the last few years has deteriorated quite poorly, and part of those reasons are because of what I've just said. And as a consequence of that, it's harder for a team like Centrals or Norwood to gather a group of guys, top level guys, to stick together for enough years to be dominant.
Well, that can mean a good thing for the competition, but let's wish the boys the best of luck for the second half of the season, and maybe they'll turn that around and they'll have much better first halves and put themselves in a strong position come finals.
Yeah, let's hope so. So ends another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.